This morning's sermon is called Faith That Sees from John chapter 4, verse 43 through 54. As we continue to go through the Gospel of John chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We left off last Sunday with Jesus declaring to the Samaritans that he is the Messiah, he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. We read last Sunday when the Samaritans had come to Jesus, they urged him to stay with him, and it says that he stayed there 2 days. They welcomed Jesus with open arms. They had a real hungry heart for God. We also read last Sunday that many more of the Samaritans believed because of Jesus' own words. After they heard his words, they said, "We have heard Jesus ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Multitudes of people coming to Christ, and this is how the kingdom of God advances, one bringing another. These people in Samaria, as we read the last couple Sundays, that these Samaritans were on fire for the Lord. They had a deep love and passion for the Lord, which is amazing. After this morning's passage, we'll be ending chapter 4. This completes Jesus' one-year ministry. So if it seems like we've been in chapters 1 through 4 for a year now, it's because we have. It's been a year. During Jesus' first year of ministry, there was very little confrontation, very little resistance, lots of acceptance. But in his second year, it'd be a lot different. Jesus speaks to the people about their heart. He speaks to the people about their sin, judgment, hell, the need of a Savior, and the people don't like it. And after his second year of ministry, many people are plotting to put him to death. So let's pick up in verses 43 and 44 in this morning's passage. The Apostle John continued to write. He wrote, "Now after the 2 days, being in Samaria, Jesus departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country." So after 2 days, Jesus left Samaria and he headed for Galilee. He was heading to Cana of Galilee, near his hometown of Nazareth. Now keep in mind, Jesus just left Samaria, and he was around a lot of true believers. They were very excited about Jesus. Lots of people were coming to Christ. They had a hungry heart for God. Many people were getting saved. These people were on fire for the Lord. They asked if he would stay with them. And he stayed for 2 days, as we read. They probably wanted him to stay for months. Right? This would have been a great place to be. And Jesus probably didn't want to leave Samaria after being around these people that were on fire for him. But he was on a divine schedule. And now he was heading into Cana of Galilee to preach about repentance and faith. He's on a divine schedule to go into Galilee to preach about repentance and faith. So why did the Apostle John write, "For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country"? That's interesting that John puts that in there, in that little area between these two verses. He wants us to know this. That Jesus was heading back to his hometown, and John knew, as well as Jesus knew, that the reception in Galilee was going to be a lot different than his reception that he got in Samaria. He knew, Jesus knew, what was waiting for him in this region. They rejected him before, and most of them were unbelievers, uncommitted believers. Mark wrote in his gospel, he says, that they were even offended by Jesus' words at his preaching. Mark wrote that in chapter 6. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want you to turn to this passage in Mark 6. Mark chapter 6, if you want to use, if you didn't bring a Bible, you can use the Pew Bible on page 1553, if you want to follow along. I'm going to share these four verses with you. Mark wrote about this in his gospel, the same thing. Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. These people were actually offended at Jesus' words. Still have some pages. Okay, we're good. I'm going to read verse 1 through 4. Follow along at the Word of God. Then Jesus went out from there and he came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joses, Judas, Simon? And are not his sisters here also?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." They were offended at Jesus' words, preaching repentance and faith, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. They didn't like it. They were offended. John, the Apostle John, he also wrote in this gospel that we've been going through in chapter 5, chapter 7, verse 5, he says, "For even his brothers did not believe him." Even his own brothers didn't believe he was the Christ. His own family thought that he had lost his mind. So why go there? Why go to this region? Here's the answer. God desires all men to be saved. Everywhere. Even the ignorant ones. God commands us, Jesus commands us to go into the world and preach the gospel. What did he say? To every creature. This is why Jesus went back there to preach to them again, that they would come to the truth and believe in him. Let's go back to our passage and look at verse 45. It says, "So when Jesus came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the signs, all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast." Home territory. Notice the Galileans received him, but only because of the miracles that they saw Jesus do at the feast. They love the miracles, but not really interested in Jesus. Remember back in chapter 2, we went through the John, right? Chapter 2, back at the very end of that chapter, verse 23 through 25, it was about uncommitted believers. This is the same group of people. Jesus went back into Galilee to preach to these people about repentance and faith so they would come to the truth. He wrote, John wrote, I'll share it with you, back in chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. It said, "Now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did." But look at verse 24. "But Jesus did not commit himself to them." Whoa. Why? It says right here, "Because he knew all men, and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for Jesus knew what was in man." They believed in the signs and wonders, but not the person. Not him. Jesus knew their belief in him was not genuine. Jesus knew that they were uncommitted believers. They were very excited about the signs, but Jesus wasn't excited about them. Therefore, he did not commit himself to them. Very tragic. Very, very tragic, right? He knew what was in their heart. That's why he said, there's no need to tell me about man's heart. I already know. I made their heart, right? He says he knew what was in their heart, and it wasn't him. These people, this group that he's preaching to as we're going through, these were unconverted believers. These were uncommitted believers. These were unsaved believers. We would call these people today Christians in name only, right? You know some of them, right? They were unconverted believers. Jesus knew it was in their heart, and he knew that they were half-hearted believers. So this is the tragic part of this. He did not commit himself to them. In other words, he did not receive them. Tragic. You know, it's one thing to say, oh yeah, I received Jesus Christ as Savior. It's another thing for him to receive us. Amen? Right? We've seen people, oh yeah, I've accepted Jesus 20 years ago. They live like the devil. Right? Jesus got to receive us as well. These people, he didn't, because he knew their heart wasn't right. This group that we're reading about, these are the type of people that want all of God's blessings, right, but not God. They want all the benefits that come with Christ, but not Christ. This is what he's dealing with. He left Samaria, and this is the new group that he's dealing with as he's trying to bring them to the truth. So let's go on and look at our passage in verse 46 and 47. It says, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, right, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to Jesus and implored him. That means he begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. This nobleman was a royal official. He was a ruler in Rome. He worked under Herod's son, Antipas. He worked for him. And he was from Capernaum, about 25 miles north of Cana, where we're reading about right now. This man, this nobleman, heard about all the things that Jesus had been doing, and he heard about the Lord's power. And his son was dying, and he wanted to see if Jesus could save his son. So let's pick up in verse 48 and listen to what Jesus says to him and the crowd. Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Remember, these were people that were more interested in the signs and wonders. He's speaking into their heart. They didn't like this. Right? They wanted the sign. Show me another signs. Show us another sign. Right? You guys see that when you're reading through the Gospels. Oh, the Pharisees. Show us another sign. They were more interested in that rather than Jesus. You notice Jesus wrote in there in the passage? You see that? He says, you people. That's plural. He wasn't just speaking to this man. There was a lot of people around him, multitudes. And he says, you people. You people, he's talking about the whole crowd. Unless you see signs, you will by no means believe. He wanted the whole crowd to hear this. These people were miracle seekers, not God seekers. That's exactly who these people were. Let's pick up in verse 49. Verse 49 says, the nobleman, this man, said to Jesus, sir, come down before my child dies. This man is begging Jesus for help. Come to Capernaum with me, Lord. My son is sick. Come to Capernaum to save my son. Here's this royal official, big shot, begging for Jesus to save his son, begging Jesus to go to Capernaum to heal his son. His son was sick, and it brought this man to his knees before the Lord. There's no doubt this man believed that Jesus was the Son of God, God in the flesh, or he was sent from God. Just like Nicodemus, we read in chapter 3, same thing. Remember, Nicodemus came to Jesus. He said, Rabbi, he said, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with you. This man knew this guy is either the Messiah, the Christ, or he's sent from God. He believed. This man wasn't like most of these Galileans in this area that didn't like Jesus' preaching. He wasn't looking for a sign and a wonder. Did you notice that in the scriptures? He wasn't telling Jesus. He wasn't asking, send me a sign so I know you can heal my son. No. He just says, come, heal my son. He wanted Jesus to heal his boy. And he believed that Jesus could. He places all his faith and trust in Jesus. And Jesus knew it. He brought this guy to his knees. Come say, my son. Jesus sees his faith in him. Jesus knew this man truly believed in him, truly believed that Jesus could save his son, and he has a cry for help. Please come to Capernaum and save my son. And we are about to see what genuine faith looks like right here. Faith that sees, right? Believing is seeing, right? The world always says seeing is believing, but that doesn't work with God. Show me a sign, right? That's just the world, right? The outside world says, oh, I believe, I see it. That's not faith, right? Faith sees, believing, right, is seeing, right? God is interested in our faith and trust in him, right? We do not need to see signs and wonders, we believe. Amen? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe in me, Jesus said. So let's continue on in this conversation. Let's go down to verse 50. Look at this. Verse 50. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. Now, why do you think Jesus did that right there on the spot? Because he saw this man's faith, that he believed he could save his son. Right? We read throughout all the Gospels, right? Jesus would not heal anybody until he asked them, do you believe that I can? And they said, yes, Lord. Your faith has made you well. Over and over and over. Jesus is all about our faith. Right? And he saw the faith in this man on his knees. I'm begging you, please come to Capernaum and heal my son. He's dying. I know you can. And he says, go your way. Your son lives. Powerful. Son's 25 miles away. Go your way. Your son, he lives. His faith saved his son, healed his son. Amazing. And in finishing, it says, right, it says, these are the words this man's been waiting for. And at the end of verse 50, it says, so the man, look at this, believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and look at what he did. He went his way. That's all he needed to hear. He didn't say, you notice he didn't say, are you sure, Lord? You sure you can help me, Lord? I believe, but are you sure? You know? Wishy-washy? No, this man, he said he believed. He got up and he went. That's genuine faith, standing on God's promise, just as we just sang. Right? He removes. Did you notice this? He removes any ability from this man to look at a sign. He's not going to do a sign, not going to do a wonder. He's just going to trust, right? There's no sign here. This is just a promise. Jesus says, go your way, your son lives. This is a promise. No signs, no wonders, no nothing. This is all that man needed to hear. He gets up, he goes. That's true, genuine faith right there, right? Jesus puts this man in a situation that the only thing this man can do is take Jesus for his word. It's the only thing this man can do. He has nothing else. There's been no sign. There's been no wonder. He just takes Jesus for his word, his promise. He places his faith and trust in Jesus, and he goes his way. Jesus was telling this man, I'm sure he was telling this man, I know you want me to go to Capernaum. There's no need for me to do that. Go your way. There's no need for me to go. Go home. Your boy is fine. Go home. Stand on my word. It's amazing, right? All this man can do is stand on God's promise. And that's what he did. So this man gets back in his chariot, right? And his son is 25 miles away. And he clings to one thing, God's word. He clings to one thing, God's word. That's all he needed to hear. No sign, no wonder, no proof. Just believe in God's word, God's promise. That's all he had. And sometimes that's all we have. Amen? And we stand on it. We stand on God's promise. You promised, Lord, and we stand on it. Over and over in the scriptures, God tells us to believe in him and his word. Just believe in me. Trust in me. Have faith in me and his word. So let's take a look at verse 51. It says in verse 51, it says, and he was now going down. So he's back home. His servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. His servants, right? This man, as he's getting closer to home, right? Right? His servants come. They're probably running down the road. Hey, your son lives. Your boy, he's fine. Let's take a look at verse 53 and 54. Then he, the man, inquired of them the hour he got better, right? So he's asking his servants here, hey, by the way, so when did my boy get better? And they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, that's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. 24 hours ago, he was standing before the Lord in Cana at 1 o'clock. He said, yesterday, when you were standing before Jesus, your boy was well. They said the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour, 1 o'clock, in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household believed. He must have had one heck of a testimony. The whole family believed after hearing his testimony. I was standing before Jesus. He said my son was going to live, and he's fine. Unbelievable. You know, I want you to notice something in this passage here. This is very powerful. This is very, very interesting, right? In these verses that we just read, right? It was 1 o'clock in Cana. I want you to think about this. It was 1 o'clock in Cana of Galilee. It would have taken this man 3 to 4 hours in his chariot to get back to Capernaum, okay? To go check on his son. But it took him 24 hours. That doesn't add up, right? He probably stayed overnight in Cana. And then he headed back home in the morning. So why didn't he take off right away? You and I would have. You and I would have got right in the chariot. Not this man. Probably stayed over in Cana. Stayed there. You know why? He said, if Jesus said my son's fine, there's no need to rush back home. If Jesus said my boy, your boy lives, there's no need for me to hightail it out of town. If he said it, it's true. My boy lives. I'm not going to rush home. Maybe I'll stay here and fellowship with the guys. We don't know. But what I do know, it takes 3 to 4 hours in a chariot to get back. He went the next day. And they said, he was healed yesterday. What time? 1 o'clock. That's when he was standing before Jesus. No need to hurry. I'm going to stand on God's promise. amazing faith, me and you, we would have been gone. When he arrived back home on the next day, as we read, he asked, "What time did my boy get better?" 1 o'clock. And he knew that what Jesus said was true. He said, "Go your way. Your son lives." And after his family heard his testimony, they all believed on the Lord. So let's take a look at our final verse, verse 54. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. Before I close, here's the point of this story. This man didn't rush home. He trusted in Jesus' words. He placed all his faith and trust in Jesus. He took Jesus for his word. He believed Jesus, and he didn't rush back home. This is faith at its finest, right here. This is faith at its finest. This is the faith that God is looking for in us. Jesus said, "If I said it, you can count on it." This is the type of faith. Listen, this is the type of faith that God wants to give us. This type of faith that this man had. I don't know about you, but I couldn't have went and stayed somewhere overnight. No one wondering, "Am I boy all right?" This man probably snored all night. Jesus said it, "I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to worry." Jesus said, "I'm going to be fine, and my boy's going to be fine. I'm standing on his word." That's the type of faith God is pleased with. Right? What does the Bible say? Right? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, you know this, it is impossible to please God. God wants us to know, hey, without faith, without you believing in me, it's hard for me to be pleased in you. Jesus told this man, "Go your way. Your son lives." In fact, I'm going to close with this. If you want to live a stress-free, worry-free life, believe in what Jesus says and go your way. Amen? Believe and go your way. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning, your word. We thank you, Lord, for open our hearts and our minds on how important it is for us to have our faith and trust in you and stand on your promises, Lord. Oh, I hope and pray everybody here, Lord, will continue to stand on your promises and believe, not just say it, believe and place their faith and trust in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.